D&D podcast, Demented Dungeons and Dragons.com, where we talk about everything but Dungeons and Dragons. Hello.
Kano, who's here tonight?
Well, it's just you and me, I guess, but David Ray is supposed to be here, and who knows who else is going to be here.
I can't stay very long. I got a lot of things to do. Well, okay, we had a horrible, Lenny Ladner. I'm running for Congress in Tennessee's 7th District. I was an independent backed by the Libertarians. For those that don't know me, my stand on the Second Amendment is very simple. The Constitution, the Bill of Rights, was written to protect the people from the government, and the Second Amendment was written so that the people could protect themselves from the government. With that in mind, we had a horrible tragedy last week, and the gun grabbers are going to make a major move tomorrow in the United States Senate. Any move they make is going to be a move against liberty, okay? In the opinion of one friend of mine, they're going to possibly extend the background check to private sales. The whole logic of that is the government will know who has what gun, and the whole idea of the Second Amendment is the government's not really supposed to know anything. These gun grabbers talk about after a school shooting or this or that or a kid blowing his head off because he got a hold of his father's 45, reasonable gun controls, always more and more and more reasonable gun controls. And the gun controls they put in since 1968 with the Nazi crime bill have not worked. If you're going to have firearms, you need to be responsible for them, et cetera. But essentially, what they're going after is this utopian system where nobody has any guns and nobody could do any harm and nobody could do this. And the reality is that, well, you can have your hunting rifle. We'll give you a receipt, but it's going to be locked away in an armory. And, of course, you can get your hunting rifle when you present the receipt. But what did the British do? They marched to Lexington and Concord to raid the armory, didn't they?
Right.
When they started going for the armory, the people started shooting. You got this senator from Connecticut who's an absolute insult to every good American of Irish descent, Christopher Murphy. He's the new poster boy for all of this gun control junk. And we have to see that both parties are really working against us. I don't know what tomorrow is going to bring, but the people need to be up in arms with any compromise. I don't know what's wrong with my computer. Nothing is happening. That's not good. The other thing you wanted to talk about, civilian weapons versus full-scale military. A military M16 or a military M1A, which is a civilian M14 or civilian AR-15. The military versions of these weapons can go full automatic. The civilians are single shot. That's all there is to that.
Right. The difference between an assault rifle and
don't
an
use that. Don't use that term. A full military-grade weapon or a rifle that's based on a military-grade weapon.
So why don't we want to use that term?
Because the liberals and the gun grabbers love the term assault rifle.
Right.
They think it means something. It means nothing.
Right, it's just another fear-mongrel tactic.
Yeah, all they're trying to do is to put fear into the population. That's it. And if the liberals got all of these weapons off the street, everybody would be fine. Well, I have a question for you. Why should we trust them? Why should we trust them with our weapons? because they obviously don't trust us with our weapons. Why should we trust them?
Right.
We shouldn't.
Well, and something another guy brought up, he lives in Chicago. Chicago supposedly has the highest form of gun regulations, gun control in the United States, and they also have the highest crime in the United States.
Correct. Correct. And the other thing they don't like to talk about is the majority of the crime is black on black. How come?
Yeah, I don't know.
That's all. The liberals don't like to discuss their failures. Their entire agenda is a failure. And we thought we elected a Republican Congress and a Republican Senate in 2014, and in 2010 they've done nothing but screw us. Period. They all need to go, and they all need to be charged with treason.
Right.
Period.
There's a difference between Republicans and Democrats.
There aren't any differences.
Right.
And they keep playing the American people for suckers. That's the other thing that a lot of people don't get. I'm tired of lesser of two evils. I'm tired of these Republican, these so-called conservatives telling the people, look what we saved you from, when they keep expanding the government, which is what they're doing. So tomorrow may be a watershed day in American politics when Mitch McConnell and the Republican Senate cave into this guy Murphy. I really think it's time to draw a line in the sand and start screaming, start doing anything and everything nonviolently right now. Okay?
Right, yeah.
Had a long talk with Uncle Charles today. He brought up a couple things, but mostly on how I would deal with a hostile interviewer. So,
like me?
No, you're not hostile, Kano. So I don't know what else to say. Been having a lot of computer problems. Hopefully it goes into shop next Friday. Okay?
Alrighty.
And if there are any fathers out there, happy Father's Day.
Yeah, happy Pappy's Day.
Yeah. And I hope I hope David shows up.
If you're
on Facebook, watch out for anybody that tries to friend you who looks like a friend. They have the same name as a friend. They have the same page as a friend, and you'll find out somebody hacked your friend. Does that make any sense?
Yeah, that's actually been going on for a little while. Some people, I guess, don't know about it, or it's still going on.
Oh, and by the way, I can't figure that thing out with that stupid YouTube thing. On the instructions, it says there's an arrow, and there is no arrow. So I don't know. It's like all this other computer crap. It's very confusing.
It gets more complicated every day. I'm having trouble keeping up with it, and I'm an IT guy. Well, I was an IT guy. I don't know what I am now.
What? One thing I will tell you, I had a real nice conversation with John McAfee's campaign manager, Tiffany Madison, and I think we can work together on something. And John McAfee is very serious about trying to fix what's wrong in this country. I just hope he's willing to accept some input from Charlie and not from the phony libertarians out there. I don't know how else to say it. Yeah, there are a lot of them. The libertarian presidential ticket is disgusting. And if Gary Johnson was smart, he would have taken any of the other presidential candidates or vice presidential candidates. Johnson McAfee would have been one great ticket. All right. But he didn't. He took William Weld for the promise that William Weld would help raise a lot of funds. That is the biggest mistake a party that's the party of principle can make.
Right.
And that's it. I'm, you know, I can't support this ticket, and I'm not so sure about Trump anymore. I'm not sure about any of them. We got to get people in Congress, and if anybody's listening, on July 2nd, Firecracker and I will have a booth, a table, at Charlie Daniels Park in Mount Juliet, Tennessee, at Ralph Bristol's thing. Evidently, nobody's listening. I don't think anybody cares anymore, and I don't know what's wrong with this computer.
I don't know what's wrong with this country.
You got a combination of people are afraid and people are willing to accept the lesser of two evils. Firecracker, that's my wife, asked me a question today. How many of these congressmen know the truth about Sandy Hook? And the only way I could answer that is the Republican class of 1994, which sat in 1995 and lasted until 1996, was given copies of the New American magazine on the bombing in the Murrah Building, the Oklahoma City bombing.
Right.
And the late Helen Chenoweth paid for those copies. She may have had other people donate the money, I don't know. But Helen was a good lady. And nothing was done. They went along with the official Justice Department report. McVeigh was the only bomber. And we have somebody running for President of the United States who had every reason to celebrate that bombing, because there was quite a bit of stuff in the U.S. Attorney's Office in Oklahoma City concerning Whitewater, which in reality is not one of her greatest crimes.
Wag the dog.
And it's not Jill Stein. Okay, so, you know, they continue to do nothing, we continue to lose, and I don't know where this is going to go, but it ain't good. It ain't going to be good.
Well, that's right.
Every time you had common sense gun control, you've had a totalitarian regime eventually take over when they had access to all the guns. Like I said, if the government doesn't trust me, with my firearms, why should I trust them with my firearms? That's what it comes down to.
Reasonable gun control should be, we should control what guns they have.
Yeah.
Because we're the they're the public servants.
They are the public servants. And we are the masters. And, I got a thing on Facebook from somebody who doesn't know me, wanted to know where I stand on term limits. And all I have to say with term limits is, when the slippery, slimy politician's term is going to be up, he's going to make all kinds of deals, make all kinds of money, and continue to sell us into slavery. It's much more important for somebody to go out, campaign, and perform on his promises, you know, tell the people how he's going to vote on everything, which would be no on anything, which would allow the government to grow, than worry about term limits. But again, I don't know what's going on with this thing. I'm getting really, really aggravated.
So we need to focus on what they're doing, not how long they're doing it.
Yeah. And what they're doing is they're killing us.
Very slowly, like putting the frog in a pot of water and barely turning the heat up a little bit. A little bit more. Okay, that's what they're doing.
Slowly boiling frog technology. And the other thing that a lot of people don't understand is the way they've gotten a lot of their support is through a process called the domestication of population. More welfare, more benefits, more this, more that. and spending somebody else's money till it runs out, then borrowing somebody else's money, then printing somebody else's money. And it all combines with the destruction of this country. Our grandparents and great grandparents, the dollars that they got had much more purchasing power than today's dollar. But people don't want to hear that.
Well, then we could really bring this whole thing to a screeching halt if everybody just quits their job and goes and gets on welfare. Then it won't be.
It's not going to work.
Then no,
they continue to print money. That's all. And as long as they continue to print money, they can continue to buy votes, which is another reason why they want all of these immigrant groups in here. They'll just make them citizens and continue to buy votes.
Right. Make us minorities in our own country.
I just got to try to get this done. I spoke to an old, old friend of mine yesterday from New York City. And I haven't seen this fellow since probably 88 or 90. I remember the last time I saw him. And he has it right. They're going to continue to make us a minority in this country, period. And they're going to get to a position where the other side couldn't care less about what the people want. They're going to continue. They're just going to get the votes of these groups and keep giving them stuff. And you got a lot of congressmen that don't even raise money in their district. I'm not raising any money, so doesn't affect me. But one of those congressmen is a Nita Lowry, who is, I understand, the third or fourth richest person in the House of Representatives. And when you got a Diane Black with a net worth of $70,000 and a Pelosi with a net worth of over $70 million, and when you got a Nancy Pelosi with a net worth of well over $100 million, and a Daryl Issa, the guy who was going to save us from Lois Lerner, with a net worth of over $150 million, well, maybe she's one of the top 10 richest, doesn't raise a penny in her district. She's a liberal. She's a gun grabber. She's an elitist. And I don't know anymore. Of course, the Republican Party doesn't run anybody against her. Maybe that's the problem.
Right.
I hope I can get this thing to work because my blood pressure is starting to go up. If there's anybody listening, Lenny Ladner, voteforlenny.com. What I'm trying to do is to get ordinary people to take the plunge and run for office. You need to make a decision that you're going to judge every bill through a question. The question is, if that bill increases the size, the cost, extends the reach and power to government, you're going to vote no. Vote no so government don't grow, etc. And thanks for the time.
Vote no so government don't grow. Thank
yeah,
you.
That is the problem.
Right. They create a problem so they can create a solution for the problem, which puts more and more power into their hands, kind of like the pharmaceutical industry. They create a drug the pharmaceutical industry and the food industry, because the food industry is putting all these chemicals in our food, it causes problems. Then the pharmaceutical industry comes and says, oh, well, we have the cure for that problem, or not really a cure, a treatment. Well, that treatment has about 50 other problems. So they got all 50 other pills ready, for you to have more problems. So they can give you another pill that has more problems, so on and so forth. And what do you have? You just have a bunch of problems compiling on top of each other. And it's the same thing the government does.
Yeah, and all of those people who were paid very well to help solve problems want to keep their jobs. And a good example right now is what they're doing to trucking with electronic logs, sleep apnea tests, this, that, the other thing. They're killing the country. They're killing the country under mountains and mountains and mountains of bureaucracy and oceans and oceans and oceans of debt. And I got a computer, just will not do anything. Well, I'm pretty sure Obama put a bug on it. Nothing surprised me with these people anymore. Nothing.
Yep. Scrap, gov, scrap.
Yeah, I don't know how long I'm going to keep that name around, because it obviously hasn't done anything.
Right.
It really hasn't. And I have to pay for the domain name and et cetera. And I'm getting, you know, what's funny about this movement? If you and I put all of our money into this movement, we'd be broke. But the Rockefellers, the Rothschilds, and the rest of their minions have unlimited money.
And they have the power to people in the game.
Well, I found Charlie told me about this book called Iron Curtain Over America by Beatty, Beatty, I think. And Beatty was a poet. He also spent time in the Army. And I found a copy, an e-book, a free e-book, and I got to admit this, you know, being Jewish, I don't like hearing this stuff, but this Khazar Jew thing really bothers me. And I think the man has a point. I mean, he's not saying Lenny Ladner did something, he's not saying my mother did something, but he's pointing out through history that it seems that all of these people that are trying to change the world into this communist neo-fascist dictatorship happened to be connected with this Khazar Jewish thing. I mean, you know, if you could find a book on the net, read it, make up your own mind. It's scary. The Khazars were a tribe in Russia. They did not want to adopt Christianity / Russian Orthodox Christianity. And they did not want to adopt Islam. Those were the two dominant religions. So they adopted a form of Judaism. I've had a lot of people bring this up. It's in your face. I'm sorry. It is in your face. I hope this computer does something, because I'm at my wit's end with this right now. I really am. I'm unable to really deal with this thing anymore.
Yeah, I'm about ready to get out of the IT business myself. I'm just starting to get sick of computers.
Yep.
I'm going to keep going with what I got going, and I'm not really doing anything new, anything extra. Focusing on getting off the grid and doing my survivalist farm, if you will.
Yeah, well,
sustaining what I already have going in the IT world.
All right, thanks for having me on, Kano. I'll be in touch.
Thank you.
Yeah, bye.
All right, thanks, bye. So that was Lenny Ladner. I banned his IT guy, kind of, sort of, since 2009-ish, 2008-ish, helping out with different things. Not like a primary IT guy, but, you know. Anyways, he's got good stuff. He's got a good campaign. I support his message. So I help him out when I can, where I can. So check him out at voteforlenny.com or ladnerforcongress.com or scrapgovscrap.com. And if he lets scrapgovscrap go, then I'll end up taking it over more than likely and redirecting it to my Bureaucracy Gone Wild YouTubes. So, there you go. I guess we'll do Ron Paul, since David Ray is missing. Reading a message from my business partner. Okay. Alrighty. Ron Paul. Here we go.
Last week, America was rocked by the cold-blooded murder of 49 people at Pulse nightclub in Orlando, Florida. Unlike the terrorist attacks of September 11, 2001, the Orlando shooter appears to be a lone gunman who, while claiming allegiance to ISIS, was not actually working with a terrorist group. About the only thing Orlando has in common with 9/11 is the way power-hungry politicians and federal officials wasted no time using it to justify expanding government and restricting liberty. Immediately following the shooting, we began to hear renewed calls for increased government surveillance of Muslims, including spying on Muslim religious services. Although the Orlando shooter was born in the United States, some are using the shootings to renew the debate over Muslim immigration. While the government certainly should prevent terrorists from entering the country, singling out individuals for government surveillance and other violations of their rights because of religious faith violates the First Amendment and establishes a dangerous precedent that will be used against other groups. In addition, scapegoating all Muslims because of the act of one deranged individual strengthens groups like ISIS by making it appear that the U.S. government is at war with Islam. The Orlando shooting is being used to justify mass surveillance and warrantless wiretapping. For the past 3 years, the House of Representatives passed an amendment to the Defense Appropriation Bill limiting mass surveillance. But last week, the same amendment was voted down. The only difference between this year's debate and previous debates was that this year, defenders of the surveillance state were able to claim that the Orlando shooting justifies shredding the Fourth Amendment. The fact that the Orlando shooter had twice been investigated by the FBI shows that increased surveillance and wiretapping would not have prevented the shooting. Mass surveillance also creates a needle in the haystack problem that can make it difficult, if impossible, for the law enforcement officials to identify real threats. Unfortunately, evidence that giving up liberty does not increase security has never deterred those who spread fear to gain support for increased government power. The Orlando shooter successfully passed several background checks and was a licensed security guard. But just like those who used Orlando to defend unconstitutional surveillance, authoritarian supporters of gun control are not allowing facts to stand in the way of using the Orlando shooting to advance their agenda. The Second Amendment opponents are using Orlando to give the federal government new powers to take away an individual's rights without due process. One pro-gun control senator actually said that due process is killing us. Ironically, if not surprisingly, one of those calling for new gun control laws is Hillary Clinton. When she was Secretary of State, Clinton supported interventions in the Middle East that resulted in ISIS obtaining firearms paid for by the U.S. taxpayer. Mass surveillance, gun control, and other restrictions on our liberty will not prevent future Orlando. In fact, by preventing law-abiding Americans from defending themselves, gun control laws make us less safe from criminals. Similarly, mass surveillance and warrantless wiretapping erode our rights while making it more difficult for law enforcement to identify real threats. If Congress really cared about our security and liberty, they would repeal all federal gun laws and all unconstitutional surveillance and end the hyper-interventionist foreign policy that causes many around the world to resent the United States. The real lesson of both 9/11 and Orlando is that the way to achieve society is to pursue the cause of liberty. Thanks for calling this update.
To repeat the announcement, press 1. To repeat the announcement, press 1. To repeat the announcement, press 1.
Okay. One thing that Lenny brought up the other day that Ron Paul and nobody else has brought up is the fact that this guy wasn't alone. There's no way he could have reloaded that much ammo with that gun that fast. Now, I don't know much about guns. So if you have a question about that, talk to somebody who does know about guns. Lenny knows about guns. Another guy that I know knows about guns. And I asked the other guy this question that Lenny basically stated. And the other guy agreed. There's no way that guy single-handedly could have reloaded that single weapon that many times, that fast, period. Okay? So, how can he be a lone gunman when he's not a lone gunman? There had to have been at least one or two other people there. And from what I understand, there was two other people there, not just him. So, what does that mean? You know, we need to do our homework. That's what that means. It means they're not telling us the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. They're telling us what they want us to hear. That's what that means. They are telling us what they want us to hear so that they can get what agendas they want passed. Like we keep talking about. They want our guns so they can control us. Like I said on our gun podcast a couple weeks ago, what was it? Charlie Smith said in one of his speeches, talking about the Jews, you know, he said, don't tell me the Jews were a bunch of gingerbread men wanting to walk into somebody's oven. If they had the ways and the means to protect themselves, what happened in Germany would not have happened in Germany. First thing Hitler did, take away their means to protect themselves. And that's what's going on here now. They're taking away our means, our ways and our means to protect ourselves. So, don't give up your guns. Don't give up your protection. The criminals aren't giving up their protection. The criminals don't go out and go do background checks. The criminals don't go out and register their guns and the criminals don't go out and buy their guns legitimately. They steal them. Not only that, they probably get them from the government. I mean, throughout our history alone, what was it? Just in the last few decades, our government has been one of the biggest crimes, what do they call it? Starts with an S. Syndicate. Maybe it starts with a C. Syndicate. Our government is one of the largest crime syndicates in the world. Our government is one of the biggest drug traffickers in the world. Knowing that alone, do we think we can trust them if we give up all of our guns? They're the biggest drug dealers in the world, or one of them. So if they're one of the biggest drug dealers in the world, what do drug dealers do? They buy and sell guns. They trade guns. They give guns to other criminals. They give drugs to other criminals. So, I don't know. I mean, I just don't know. I mean, yeah, individually, what do we do? What do we do? I don't know. I don't know what to do. What can I do? One individual, what can I do? Only thing I can do is speak up. Speak out. Do what I know is right. Run for Congress. Run for council, city council. Run for any office where we can vote no on anything that increases the size of the cost, extends the reach and the power of government. Educate each other. Stand together. United we stand, divided we fall. Educate our public servants. That we're not going to take it anymore. That we are the sovereign and they report to us. Not the other way around. It's gotten way out of control. Way out of hand. So yeah. Whether this shooting was real, staged, fake, whatever. You know, they're not going to let a good crisis go to waste. They're going to use this against us in order to control us. The more we pussyfoot around and allow stupid shit to happen, the more stupid shit's going to happen. So, I don't know. I don't know what to tell you. I know I'm getting concerned. It just appears that war is around the corner, you know, civil war. And, or it's going to be like Hunger Games. You know, they're going to, you know, round us all up like cattle and put us all in, you know, big concentration camps, you know, like, yeah, like Hunger Games. It won't be exactly like Hunger Games, but you know, it's going to be something of that sort. They're already creating national forests that we're not allowed in. They can go there. In fact, a lot of these government officials and other people with all this power, money and power, they're the ones who own the land. They can go there and hunt. They can go there and do whatever they want to do. But you and I, we're not allowed. They're going to keep doing that. They're going to keep pushing us into the cities and lock us down to where we can't do anything without their authority, without their approval. They're going to force us to pay them to make more rules, regulations, standards, and guidelines against us. Why are we putting up with that? This used to be a free country. It's far from free now. Is there a better country to go to? I don't know. But why flee the country? We just need to fix the problem. Fix the problem. Don't just leave or say it's not my problem, it's somebody else's problem. It's all of our problem. The Bible says there will be no place to hide. You can't run from your problems. You got to fix them. We are the ants. They're the grasshoppers. There's more of us. There's less of them. We just need to stop allowing them to brainwash us. We need to start standing up for ourselves. Which leads me into the next topic, religion. Religion. How the major religions have controlled, dominated, and dictated the ways of the future. Oh, yeah. Okay. Our four topics for the day is depression, then religion, and how the history of the world's major religions have played into human behavior throughout history. Then how Americans are too scared of the man and afraid to stand up for themselves, which we pretty much already talked about that. And the difference between an assault rifle and a non-assault rifle, such as an AR-15 versus an M16, and et cetera. We pretty much already talked about that. I forgot what Lenny said about the terminology, but basically he said don't use, you know, fear mongrel words. Don't allow other people to use fear mongrel words. So an AR-15 and an M16 are not assault rifles. None of them are assault rifles. If you're not assaulting somebody, it's not an assault rifle. One is an automatic. One is a fully automatic. And that's the difference. Okay. But, you know, an M16 is fully automatic, right? An M16 is what the military uses. And we, the people, are supposed to be the standing army. We, the people, are supposed to be the military. Not some bureaucracy who's trying to rule the world. No. We the people. We the people are the standing army. So we the people should be able to have any form of protection that we need to protect our country from terrorists. And we have more terrorists in government than we do among ourselves. So, yeah, war on terror. Yeah, we need a war on terror. We need to get rid of these stupid government officials that are terrorizing us. That's what we need to do. So back to religion. And then I guess we're going backwards today. So we're going into religion. Then depression, because I'm sure a lot of people are suffering from depression as a result to all of the above. You know, government oppression, religious oppression. You know, the First Amendment is, you know, your right to, is it the First Amendment? Yeah, the First Amendment is your right to your religion. Freedom of speech, freedom of religion. I don't have it memorized, but, you know, basically talking about our freedom of speech, freedom of religion, and other freedoms that we have. Liberties. Many religions are trying to restrict the rights of other religions. And if you look at it constructively, even the government is a religion. Uncle Sam wants to be our God. Uncle Sam wants to tell us what to do, wants to tell us what the commandments are. And it doesn't work that way. We're supposed to tell the government what to do, not the other way around. Government's not our God. The Catholic Church, throughout history, has been one of the most corrupt churches throughout history. I don't know. One person told me that the whole thing where if you commit suicide, you're going to hell because it's basically murder. You're murdering yourself and you can't ask for forgiveness because you're already dead or whatever. You know, she said that was basically made up by the Catholic Church because people, you know, their congregation was... Basically, there was too many of their congregation that was killing themselves, so they had to make up this rule, keep them from killing themselves. You know, because of the Catholic oppression. So I'm not a big fan of the Catholic Church, but, you know, I don't think you're going to hell because you believe in the Catholic ways. But who knows? You know, a lot of things, a lot of people talk about how the Bible describes the horror of Babylon and how the Catholic Church falls in that description of the horror of Babylon. I don't know. But I know there's a lot of brainwashing going on in a lot of religions. Now, I study a lot of different religions. And I don't subscribe to any one of them, necessarily. I call myself an otherarian. And, I just, you know, I studied this religion as a whole. And I do what's right, when it's right, because it's right. That's basically my religion. I just do what's right, you know. Or at least it, try my best. Nobody's perfect. And, I mean, just last week, or this week, I got blocked on Facebook and alienated by a friend that I've been friends with for a year and a half. Because I did what's right. Or at least I did what I thought was right. And long of the short, I met her on a dateline a year and a half ago. We were courting. We got stuck in a friend zone about a year ago. And never met, never talked on the phone. It's all digital, texting, Facebook, blah, blah, blah. So about a week or so ago, I asked her, you know, what I did wrong to, you know, cause her to lose interest in me. You know, not necessarily going after her, you know, just so that I know, you know, because I'm always on, I have Moon in Libra, so I'm always on self-improvement campaign. And I'm always trying to improve myself, Moon, not always, but, you know, a lot. I'm usually trying to make improvements within myself, trying to, you know, maintain balance and harmony. That's what Libras do. They're about balance and harmony. And I have a moon in Libra, so my emotional and psychological needs is about balance and harmony. So I was like, you know, trying to figure out what I did wrong. And so I can work on that. She's like, oh, you didn't do anything wrong. It was me. She's like, I got stuck in my head, you know. I thought you were too intellectual for me. You were too smart for me. And you eventually get bored with me because I'm not as smart as you are. And I was like, what? You know, because I thought I did something wrong. And I never thought she was unintelligent. I always thought she was intelligent. But maybe I was wrong. I don't know. And I basically told her that, you know, you don't have to be as smart as I am. You just have to be able to hold a conversation. I'm a conversationalist. I like to conversate. And I'm not all that bright anyway. Maybe brighter than some people, but I ain't the sharpest tool in the shed, that's for sure. So we start courting each other again. But I felt like something was off. Something wasn't right. You know, I'm a little psychic, I guess, maybe. Or psycho, one of the two. Combination of the both. And so I, you know, I was like, something's off, you know. So I confronted her to make sure, you know, that she was single. Because if Facebook said she was single, everything was, you know, she was saying, everything else was pointing at the direction of her being single and interested in me. But something was off. Something wasn't right. Something wasn't there. And so I was like, you know, I said something. She goes, well, yeah, I am seeing somebody. Or I am dating. That's what she says. I'm dating somebody. But it's not working out. And basically was talking like she was on the way out. She was at the end of her rope, if you will. And naturally, my instinct was to console her, you know. That would be anybody's instinct, I guess. You know, your friend, somebody you like. There's a mutual interest, a mutual like. And, you know, right now, or not right now, but before, we were friends. And so I cared about her in a friend way. I liked her more than just a friend, but we had been friends for a year now. So my first instinct was to be there for her as a friend. And my second instinct was to back off because she's dating somebody. And, you know, I don't know how serious this dating is. So I'm doing my homework. And come to find out, it's the guy that I ran their astrology for 3 months ago. And I was like, is it this guy? And she's like, yes, it is. And so I go and look at his astrology. And so it's more than just dating. They've been just dating for 3 months. So it's more than just dating. So I go back into the astrology and, you know, cross-analyze, you know, what she's telling me, the problems they're having, because she's not telling me in detail. She's telling me briefly, lightly, what the issues are. And I told her, basically, looking at his astrology, I could see where, you know, some of those issues would be, because he had a lot of Pisces in his chart. So he's, you know, the high Pisces is a hideout position. It likes to hide. It's kind of guarded, you know. Pisces and Taurus, they, it may come off as secretive, and they may be secretive, but they're guarding, you know, for different reasons. Either because they're hiding, they're scared, they're protecting something, you know. But they're very guarded on things, emotions, whatever that might get them in trouble, or might get their feelings hurt, or something, because Tauruses are easily traumatized. And Pisces is very emotional, you know. So I was advising her as a friend, astrologically, you know, to look deeper into the astrology and maybe she could find some answers there. She's trying to remain neutral. She complimented me that evening for remaining neutral. She said I did a really good job of being neutral, not swaying her in either direction. So the next day I had another, I guess, I don't know what you would call it. But anyways, I woke up And the first thing that I thought was, do a background check on the guy. Look him up. Find out more about this guy. So I did. I did a background check on him. I cyber-stalked him on Facebook and other stuff because I'm an IT guy. I know how to find people and look people up on the internet. So I looked this guy up. And the guy looked like a decent guy. He looked like a really nice guy. I really had no beef with the guy. I mean, the guy she was dating before him turned out to be a liar, a cheater, and he disrespected her. This guy was not like that. This guy was actually a lot like me. Just a nice guy. And other things, but I'm not going to disclose too much information about him. But everything that I saw was good. There was nothing that I saw that said this guy was a bad guy. Then I saw in his Facebook things that pointed to the fact that his wife passed away a year ago. And basically, so I asked her about that. I was like, did his wife pass away last year? And she said, yes. So our conversation led up to the fact that, you know, next month, this is June, next month in July, is the anniversary date of her passing away. So that's why he's having a hard time. He's shutting her out. He's dealing with emotions that he doesn't know what to do with. You know, maybe he's not ready to move on, something. But he's having a hard time. And she is basically walking out on him because he's having a hard time dealing with his wife passing away a year ago that he loved. He loved and cherished this woman. He called her his soulmate. You know? I don't know how astrologically compatible this woman was to the guy. But I know that my friend, or so-called friend, was more astrologically compatible to him than she was to me. And her and I were a lot alike. And I liked her astrology and my astrology together. Well, hers and his astrology was better than hers and my astrology. The guy seemed like a good guy. He didn't need any more bullshit than what he was already going through, dealing with his emotions. And here he had a woman who appeared to not really care about what he was going through. She was more concerned about what she was going through, which can be normal. You know, we get wrapped up in our own emotions and we forget about other people's feelings and what other people are going through. So I encouraged her to fix her relationship. I backed off even more. Like, okay, I'm not interested in dating you anymore. I'm just your friend. Go fix your relationship. Be there for your man. He's having a hard time. His wife passed away a year ago. He's having a hard time dealing with that. Be there for your man. Don't walk out on him. Don't just whatever, you know. But I tried to say it in a polite way. I tried to say it in a friendly way. I tried to say it in a caring, kind, and considerate way. But apparently she went in her head and made it out to be something it wasn't. Got pissed off at me. Well, first she thanked me for, you know, being there for her and being a friend and doing my homework and, you know, all this stuff. And then she turned around and blocked me on Facebook. And so now I'm the asshole. I'm the bad guy because I told her not to give up on her relationship, encouraged her to fix the relationship, do what she can to, you know, fix the relationship. Be there for your man. He's a nice guy. He seemed like a nice guy. I don't know the guy. Just from the homework that I did, he seemed like a nice guy, and she was giving up on a nice guy. Women today don't appreciate a good man. I don't know what the problem is. Of course, David Ray seems to know what the problem is. Uncle Sam has stepped in many moons ago and said, oh, you don't need him. You got me. I can be the father, you know? You got welfare and all this other stuff. This brainwashing women that they don't need a guy. They can rely on Uncle Sam. Uncle Sam is your man. Who needs... The rest of us are just sperm donors. We ain't nobody. So, that's part of the problem. But yeah, I mean, women just don't respect men anymore. Especially a nice guy. So, you know, she was basically lining me up as a backup plan. And she was on the way out because it was getting rough and she was getting gone. You know, and I had that problem with my last wife. You know, we had a good relationship for like five, almost 6 years. And then things got tough and she cheated on me, went behind my back and with somebody else. And just destroyed everything we worked on for 7 years. I don't want another relationship like that. I don't want a woman who's going to fold like a house of cards. Screw that. So, yeah. I forgot where I was going with that. But anyways. Religion, you know, people are fucked up. People are allowing stuff to brainwash them. People are allowing themselves to be brainwashed. I thought this girl was a decent girl. And turns out, you know, oh, doing what's right because it's right. That's my belief structure, you know. Do what's right. So I'm being punished because I did what's right when it was right because it was right. You know, but, you know, hey, maybe I dodged a bullet because, you know, I get with her, you know, we were going to hook up 4th of July. Not anymore. We're not in the friend zone anymore, that's for sure. We ain't even talking. We're not friends anymore. She blocked me. Well, she blocked one of my profiles on Facebook. So I went and deleted myself as her friend on the other two. And I figured, you don't want to be my friend, that's fine. You don't have to be my friend. But I'm being punished for doing what's right. And that's what Uncle Sam is teaching people. You know, they're teaching people, you don't need to do what's right. Just do what you want to do. Do what Uncle Sam says is right. You know? I don't know. This country's all fucked up. This whole world's getting fucked up. The world, you know, and we're going to hell in a handbasket if we ain't already there. So religion plays a big part in this. You know, everybody's making a big deal about, I don't know. Well, I study all the books of the Bible, not just the ones that King James said belong in the Bible. King James was not a holy man. So why are we reading a holy Bible that was written or rewritten by an unholy man? How do we know that Bible is 100% pure? You know, the Bible says, "Thou shalt not change a tittle, dotting of an I or a crossing of a T." Well, the King James Bible, it's not the original Bible. And if you go and look at the Hebrew text, the translations are not the same. I personally don't know Hebrew, but I know people who do. And I know people who study the differences between the King James, the NIV, and the Hebrew. Also, you have the Apocrypha, and that is, from what I understand, 14 or 16 missing books that are not in the Protestant Bible. And supposedly the Apocrypha is the bridge between the Old Testament and the New Testament. Now, they got rid of the Apocrypha. Now they're trying to get rid of the Old Testament, saying, oh, well, that's the Old Covenant. Now we're going with the New Covenant. The New Covenant is the New Testament. We don't need the Old Covenant. That's in the past. That's obsolete. When Jesus came, he changed the rules and said, the Old Testament is obsolete. We don't need it anymore. We just need the New Testament, and that's it. The new rules, the new regulations. But it's not like that. You know, the Old Testament gives a lot of stuff that the New Testament doesn't give. A lot of things that are good for us, that we need to know about, we need to practice. There's some bad stuff in there too. My friend, I call her Prepper Girl. You know, she read the Bible and she says there's a lot of unholy stuff in there. You know, fornication, prostitution, you know, orgies and all this other stuff that, you know, different parts of the Bible that she read. She's like, that ain't the Holy Bible. She don't call it the Holy Bible no more. She just calls it the Bible. She goes, that book is not holy. And you know what? I got to agree with her. It's not the Holy Bible that we know. Not that we think we know. We think it is. You know, church doesn't read from Scripture 100%. They skim over the things that they don't want to talk about, like polygamy. Most churches don't talk about polygamy unless they believe in it. So every church is taken from the Bible what they believe to be truth. And then they say, this is the Word of God. And they're not giving you the full Word of God. They're giving you their version of it. Every religion does that. Every major religion does it even more. So, yeah. There are a lot of books out there that we need to be reading that used to be in the Bible and are not in the Bible. There's a lot of religions that we need to do our homework on. We do not and should not follow anyone, any government, any religion, any philosopher, anything, period, blindly. We should always do our own homework. And I said that on the last podcast. Do your homework. Don't believe what somebody else tells you without doing your homework. My last girlfriend got mad at me because I just didn't buy her alien theory. 100%, you know, what was my words? I said, I don't know that I believe that. She took that as I was spitting in her face and saying that she was a liar. Well, that wasn't her exact words on her interpretation, but I don't remember the exact words on her interpretation. She got mad at me because I said, and my words were, I don't know that I believe that. I don't know that I can believe that. I don't know that I believe in that. It's basically because I didn't do my own homework. I'm not going to believe something blindly just because somebody says it's so. Girlfriend, mother, father, grandfather, government, preacher, doesn't matter. We're supposed to do our own homework. Now, some, if not a lot of the alien stuff she was talking about, I'm starting to think maybe they're true. You know, it's been 2 years now since she and I broke up. And she could have been a little more patient with me. I wasn't blowing her off. I was just uneducated. I didn't know. I hadn't done my homework. I wasn't educated. You know? I mean, she was always looking in the Bible for proof of alien life, alien technology. I think there's proof of alien life. I don't know about technology. And she believes that it's not magic, it's science. And that's probably so, too. I don't know. You know, she thinks that I believe in a Santa Claus God. And maybe in some ways I do. But, you know, you can't beat someone down for the way they believe. Religion loves to do that. If you don't believe the way I believe, you're going to hell. If you don't believe the way I believe, you're an evil person. If you don't believe the way I believe, you're an infidel. If you don't believe the way I believe, you should be put to death or put to prison. Your rights should be taken away from you, like the homosexuals. I mean, I'm still on the fence with the whole homosexual morality thing. The Bible, if you want to go there, doesn't necessarily talk against homosexuality. From what I understand, it says that a parent should not have sex with their children and vice versa. It talks about male homosexuality, but not female homosexuality. It says men should not have sex with other men, but it does not talk about women not having sex with other women. It also doesn't talk about prostitution, from what I understand. From what I understand, the prostitution that people think the Bible's talking about is actually the homosexuality between two men. Men having sex with other men, MSM. So, I don't know 100% about all that. You'll have to go read the books for yourself. All of them, not just the 62, 64, whatever, that your church claims is the only and were books that were inspired by God, because apparently there were more books inspired by God that were originally in the Bible that are not there anymore. As soon as they convince people to get rid of the Old Testament, they're going to say, oh, those books were not inspired by God, just like they say about the other books. So do your own homework. That's all I have to say about that. But yeah, you know, religion. Religion wants us to beat each other up. Government wants us divided. What do you think religion does? It divides us. Well, you don't believe the way I believe. You're a bad person. Racism. Well, there should be no racism. You know, because we're all members of the human race. So, what's that mean? You're prejudiced against your own race? If you're prejudiced against somebody who has a different skin color, or they look different, or they whatever, well then you're prejudiced against your own race. That's stupid. Why would you want to be stupid? You know? So, united we stand, divided we fall. We, the ants, need to be united. We need to stand behind each other and each other's beliefs. You know, this country was founded on freedom of religion, freedom of our belief structures. We can do whatever we want, as long as what we're doing does not cause harm to anyone else. And that's the definition of law amongst sovereign people. We, the sovereign people, make the laws. We, the sovereign people, cannot dictate law that does harm or restricts the rights of another sovereign. We are all given inalienable rights by our Creator. And that's the freedom to do what we think is right. So, as long as we're not causing harm to anyone, then we need to keep our mouths shut about the other people. We need to stand together. Work together as a team. Teamwork makes the dream work. So since nobody else is calling in, I'm going to close with depression. Two things on depression. The government is trying to pass laws to say if you have a history of depression, you can't own a firearm. Well, everybody has depression. And here's another thing. Hitler put fluoride in the water to subdue his victims and help control them and change their behavior patterns. Well, what do we have in our water? Fluoride and chlorine, and who knows how many other chemicals. Those are two main bad news chemicals that are in our water. Well, fluoride affects your mentality, the way you think. Then they're purposely screwing with us. They're putting chemtrails in the air. We don't know what that's all about. They're doing that. They're putting chemicals in our water. Big business putting chemicals in our food, chemicals in our other drinks. We're just being inundated by all these chemicals. The New World Order, the government, is overtaxing us. We left England because of a 5% tax, and now we're paying a 50% tax plus. And we think we're free? No wonder people are depressed. You know, we're struggling. We're struggling to survive. And the government is just feeding off of us like the Matrix or whatever.